More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
So I just got a text message from a Sagittarius that says, "Listen, sir, I'm a Sagittarius and I don't think I run people down if they get in my way. Metaphorically speaking, you do. If your mind is made up about a decision, very little will sway you." Now, I could be wrong. And remember, there's variation in all of this. And before some of y'all start delving into this being witchcraft, it's not. We'll talk about Libras in a second. Carrie, there are some fantastic traits about your zodiac sign, but here's what you need to know. You need to stay away from Pisces men because clearly it would never work. Yeah. Carrie is like, she's creative and she's artistic. She provides a level of balance. Ain't no way I could do this show without her. But that's the Libra in her. Anything other than that, Carrie and I would literally, we'd kill each other. It would be homicide. It would be her killing me. So let's talk to Nate. Hi, Nate. We got you back now. Had to take a little intermission there.
How you doing, Sherwin? So like I was saying about different times of the year being born, so weather is not the only thing that affects it. You know, people act differently around the holidays. People act differently during the summer. And the way they're acting is also going to change the way that they're, you know, giving care to an infant. But here's an example of something that shows that something that happens, things that happen to you as an infant are going to affect things in your life further on. There's a study that shows that males who are circumcised as infants, if the circumcision happened to be like particularly painful, like for whatever reason it didn't go very smoothly and it was a lot of pain for that infant, they've shown that that trauma actually affects those males throughout their life, and they grow up having a different sort of personality due to that trauma.
That's literally all and circumcised males, because that is one of the most traumatic things that a little, like there's not a child that doesn't scream bloody murder when they get circumcised. In fact, you know what they call that? It is male body mutilation, and there are some places that are trying to outlaw it. Like there's African countries that remove a woman's clitoris, and they call that body mutilation. With circumcision, not only is it male body mutilation, it is widely accepted. So what parents should be doing is if your son, when he gets of consenting age, if he wants to get himself circumcised, that's a medical decision that he should make. But that is the first thing that a lot of moms do to their little boys is they mutilate their penises. And it actually puts us at different health risks because we are circumcised. And women will tell you, now it may vary, when they have sex with a man who is not circumcised, they report it feeling better.
Yeah, okay. And this is a whole discussion that could be an entire day show for you that could go off onto a tangent. And I don't want to throw you off on a tangent because maybe you should do a whole day about how messed up it is that circumcision for males is considered completely acceptable. But when they talk about these countries that do circumcise females, it's considered almost akin to torture. And then one last thing on the star signs that I think does play into it is for people that do look into star signs and know what all the character traits are, it also can be one of those things where if you're looking for it, you're going to see it. You get what I'm saying there? If you're looking for those traits in somebody and you know they have that sign, there's a good chance that you might find some of those traits, and that would kind of further you to kind of, you know, buy into the fact that maybe there is something to this.
Yeah, there could be some self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, I appreciate it, Nate. I appreciate the call. Have a good Friday and a good weekend.
Exactly. Yep, and congratulations on your new offices there.
Thank you, sir.
You guys deserve it.
Appreciate that.
Yep, and have a good one.
All right. Self-fulfilling prophecy is always there, because you know how you can be idealistic about somebody? And I had a situation like that very, very recently where I saw literal perfection in a human being. And so in my mind, I created the ideal. And that's unfortunate. And that's very much my fault because I should know better. But sometimes you just get caught up. You ever been swept away? Women do a better job of sweeping men off of their feet than we could ever do sweeping them off of their feet. Women can, in my opinion now, especially a zodiac sign you are more compatible with, their love language becomes like all encompassing and it just envelops you. Because all men, to some extent, as strong as we may be, as much of leaders as we may be, we still like and need and appreciate being mothered, being taken care of by feminine energy. Because real masculine men have feminine energy, of course, but it is subdued and it is suppressed. So when feminine energy comes into our lives, we blossom. We become more productive. Our mood improves. That's when we start exercising and working out. We want to look better, to embrace and to encompass this new feminine energy that this woman is bringing to us. And you can get very caught up in that. You can become very idealistic, but we must remember, you know, when you have that first stage of a relationship, that honeymoon phase, everything is wonderful. It's butterflies and rainbows and unicorns. And you talk to them on the phone all night. Hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. I don't want to hang up. And you guys do that little cutesy thing back and forth. That fades. And hopefully you are building something durable that can last beyond that honeymoon phase. I also would caution you. I probably shouldn't say this. Be careful having sex during the honeymoon phase, because remember, everything is perfect and it's ideal and you're exploring this new person. And you're finding all of these places in which you're compatible and you're walking in the space of your compatibility. You haven't yet discovered all of the places in which you may disagree, where you are incompatible. And if you have physical relations during the honeymoon phase, and if it's good, like really good, you might be on this downward spiral into premature love. Keep this bit of advice. This one you shouldn't take with a grain of salt. Take this one with a boulder. Any relationship that starts quickly ends quickly. If things move hot and heavy from the beginning, and we've all been there, they are likely to fizzle out. They will end as quickly as they begin. Let me give you an example. Of the married couples that I know, and I know more than my fair share, probably 70% of my friends, 75% friends, family, colleagues are married with varying degrees of success in their marriages. But of those who are the happiest, whose marriages have stood the test of time, I mean, they've raised kids, they've gone through all sorts of trouble. They've survived the death of a parent, which is a big deal because that can change somebody permanently. Their relationships were slow to develop, or they knew the person for a really, really long time. And then the other situation is, you ever meet somebody and you hate their guts? Like, you just can't stand them. You don't even really know them. They make your skin crawl. You can't stand them. You would never picture yourself with that human being in a million years. And what happens over time? What happens? Fall in love with them. I think that paradigm, however you can describe it or explain it, when you don't like that person in the beginning and time passes and you get to know them, you end up falling in love with a person that you initially did not like. I don't know what it is about that weird combination of things, because maybe it's the incompatibilities that you see in the beginning because you have not yet explored your common ground and you write them off because you see things initially at first glance, or maybe you're being prejudiced or you're stereotyping the person and you write them off initially. Because we all have this process of how we determine if somebody is attractive. Men, we have a process or a series of physical attributes that'll make it worth our while to approach this woman. Everybody has their process. And sometimes our process is, well, if this person makes me angry or rubs me the wrong way in the beginning, I'm going to write them off completely. I assure you, if that happens, more often than not, that person will be back. All right. Emmett says he is an Aquarius. I'd imagine that's probably why you're also a Republican, Emmett. Always at Work says, I'm an Aries man and married to a Pisces woman. I look to her for emotions. She looks to me for directions. I'm glad that works out for y'all, but the zodiac would speak otherwise. But also, this is not, you're not doomed nor damned to be compatible nor incompatible with these certain zodiac signs. Sherwin just happens to have a real problem with Sagittarius women. I just don't know what it is. It's just the bane of my damn existence. Mr. Mahdi says, my boys did not get circumcised, says Mr. Mahdi. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. It really is genital mutilation of boys, and there's no medical necessity for it. And any medical necessity they ever said about circumcision were lies. The problem is, and this might be cause for a bigger discussion, Nate was right. It is supposed to be in Western societies and cultures, and there's a religious component to it as well, but I don't know if that is the main reason why women are choosing to circumcise their sons nowadays. It's because it's aesthetically pleasing. Aesthetically pleasing to who? It's a baby. So if a man, when he reaches majority age, feels insecure about the way he looks down there, then if he so chooses with his own money and or health insurance, wants to get a circumcision, that should be his decision. Because I also know that women can feel a little bit insecure about how they look down south as well. But it's rare. There's surgeries that women can do to get their labia trimmed. But that's just, I mean, real men don't care what it looks like. I mean, it could look like a damn grizzly bear to me. We don't care. Yes, I did, John. I did receive the phone numbers. Thank you. So anyone, this is John who is running for alderman of the 9th district. So John, anyone who is seeking you, John, do we have your permission to share your, why don't you get your campaign set up first, John? Cause I just don't want to give your phone numbers out to people. Cause that might cause a problem. Plus I'm not sure if I can do that. Like give your direct line out to people like FCC rules wise. But if you have a campaign or a place where people can go to get more information about your campaign, we certainly would oblige you in that regard. Why don't we talk to the official poet laureate of 101.7 The Truth here at the Avenue downtown, JD. JD is on the line. How are you, sir?
I'm well, Sherwin. I wanted to weigh in on the Zodiac debate.
Please do.
All right. We've been studying the sky for thousands of years. We live in something called the Kamite Great Year, and this is scientifically proven. The Earth's axis is on a 25,700-year movement, and we move in and out of that. It's even in the Bible. That's why Moses got mad at the people for worshiping the golden calf. We had moved out of the age of Taurus. We were moving into Aries, into the wars and the fighting. And that's why Jesus, in his day, they would put a fish on the ground. They were in the age of Pisces.
That's right.
And Jesus moved us. They moved us out of that into that. We're currently in the age of Aquarius, self-exploration. It's very real. And the skies have been charted for thousands of years. And the reason that the Earth does have an effect on us because we're made out of the same thing as the moon and the stars. We 70-80% water. Ask anybody that's ever worked or been in a prison, a hospital, or a school, do people act a fool when it's a full moon? Yes, they do. They will tell you that that is a very, very real phenomenon. And it's not to be discounted. It's not pseudoscience. They just haven't been able to prove it completely. And then because we are talking about relationships, I wanted to do a very quick poem on love if possible.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely.
It's called Love Is. Love is an action predicated on self-preservation, manifested through positive living and healthy choices. Love is an ability based on protection, shown by utilizing wisdom and making sound decisions. Love is spiritual, affirmed on truth, proven by activating righteousness and reflecting I am. Sex, murder, hate, lies, theft, and confusion can be evidence of love. However, they should never be confused with love.
Oh, that was beautiful, JD.
Thank you, sir.
101.7 The Truth's official poet laureate, JD. Always a pleasure to hear from you, sir. Have a good Friday and a better weekend, sir. Oh, that was great. Let's take a break, shall we? Take a little pause for the cause. We're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on the new 101.7 The Truth, live from the Avenue downtown. Don't you go anywhere. I'll be right back.
It's the Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Come on. Talking about everything from the Zodiac to love and whatnot. If I had to define love, it's tough because it could be all the physical things that we think it is. But ultimately, it's honest. It should have no trepidation in telling you the truth. Love seeks the best out of all of us. Even if the best is parting ways with someone. My opinion, yours could vary. So there is this perfume. Ladies, do you have favorite fragrances you prefer a man to wear? I'm big on the fragrance. Scent is something that is so closely tied to memory. It's crazy because I can literally close my eyes. And so I'm blessed and I'm cursed with my memory because I remember just about everything with incredible photographic detail. Going back to the earliest years of my life, I can recall things that it makes no sense why I can even remember them with such sharp clarity. Like I can close my eyes and walk through my kindergarten classroom and I still can see and feel the carpet, the burnt orange Gerber carpet. I still remember how my kindergarten classroom smelled. It's amazing. But something else that always sticks with me in women that I have dated is how they smell and their perfumes. So ladies, I'm going to recommend one for you. I can't pronounce it though. Bulgari. B-V-L-G-A-R-I, Bulgari. Bulgari. I've never smelled anything like it. It smells like, how do I describe it? B-V-L-G-A-R-I. I'm going to say Bulgari. Bulgari. It smells like every good decision I've ever made in a scent. It smells like every happy day. It smells like every holiday. You know what it smells like? Remember when you were a little kid and you found out that there was a snow day? And like you really didn't want to go to school. Maybe you had like a test or something that you didn't study for. And you wake up and you see the snow. And then you see the caption at the bottom of the TV screen that your school was closed. Or your mother comes in and says, you can go back to sleep. School is closed today. Imagine if you could encompass that feeling in a scent. Ladies, I'm telling you. BVL. They should sponsor me. Bulgari. But doesn't it's probably pronounced differently, but it's B-V-L-G-A-R-I. Now here's the problem now. If every woman in the damn world starts walking around wearing this fragrance, all y'all gonna get pregnant. Okay, so I just need you to know. So be careful when you wear this. Because you're gonna ovulate when you wear it, and you're going to make all the men want to hump you. All right. Reggie says, freedom, justice, equality, Libran traits, and excellent ones to possess for all of humankind. Well, shout out to the Libras. You all, there you go. Carrie is very much a Libra. Provides great balance, and she's probably easily one of the most creative people that I have ever met. And sometimes I know you creatives get very frustrated because everybody else in the world does not see or appreciate your creativity and your genius. I know I can't. I just run around the world wanting to give everybody hugs and telling everybody life is going to get better. You're all a little bit more. Your creative pursuits are what make the world go round. I would certainly say that. All right, guys, I need a definition from y'all. Sometimes if I can't get a definition from my personal experiences, and I don't always rely on dictionary definitions because they seem to be too fixed. As time goes on, we know that definitions of things can change. It's a very real question. As I am someone who is single, not married, I need to know how you guys define cheating or being unfaithful. But before we do that, let's talk to Miss Rose. You're on the new 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Oh, man, you forgot Virgo.
Can you say that again, Miss Rose? You're talking kind of close to the phone. I couldn't really hear you.
You forgot Virgo.
Virgo?
You talked about anybody else. Yeah.
I thought I mentioned the Virgos. No, Virgos are fantastic. Yeah. You know what? If you were a little bit younger, Miss Rose, I'd take you out on a fancy date. We'd go to the sock hop. We'd go get us an ice cream float.
No, but you know what? The rising sign also has an influence. Because I had a guy do my horoscope once. Because he wanted to find out why I was an unusual Virgo. Because I had an Aries rising sign. And I don't take it. I just take it on a general basis, not on a specific. Because I've gone through all the horoscopes and they all apply to me. At one point or another.
So you say you're a Virgo, you're something else rising sign. So I don't really know about all the, like the moon rising and Jupiter and Saturn. Like, I don't follow it to that level.
No, what I was saying is they just did it for me because he wanted to find out why I wasn't like the normal person. I mean, normal Virgo meant.
Oh, yeah, you're not like the normal anything, Miss Rose.
You know, you're right, and I'm proud of that because it means that I do my own thing. I do it with love and caring for people so that it's to help others, never to destroy others. And that's why I don't have any problems being me. But anyways, thank you for being you and looking forward to continue to hearing from you about you and everything, okay?
Before you go, Miss Rose, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Have you ever cheated on a man before?
What do you call about cheating?
I don't know. I'm asking you. You know what you did.
We have to have the same thought process in order for me to answer it correctly. Because, you see, cheating can be cheating by just looking at somebody else or desiring somebody that passes by. Or it could be physical cheating, mental physical cheating, or psychological cheating. That's what I'm asking. Which one you're talking about?
I don't know. Which one of those five have you done?
Oh.
I knew it. I'm not taking you to the sock hop, Miss Rose. Our date has been canceled, you cheater.
That's right. I'm for real. I enjoy life to the fullest. But one thing I can always say, I never interfered with a relationship that I had with somebody else.
So if somebody else was involved, if like you would never mess with a married man.
That is correct.
All right. Good for you. I appreciate
it. Or a taken man. Okay. Because a taken man, a taken person. Because, you see, there are common law things that I accept people being common law marriage, too. And so, to me, that's marriage as far as I'm concerned.
But are men ever really taken, Miss Rose? In your experience, and you've been around the sun a lot more times than me, are men ever really taken? It seems like men can stray very easily.
When you say taken, I'm not sure how you mean.
Like, with another person, you know, involved, common law marriage. Are men ever really fully, totally committed? Have you noticed that we are sometimes a little bit loose with our commitments?
Well, you know what? Our society has a thing that says you're a man if you be a promiscuous. And I think this is what set the tone. They've lost sight of caring, that you can care for more than one person, but you got platonic relationships are sometimes mixed up with sexual relationships.
Mm.
And sometimes that word platonic has gone astray. And that's, I think, where the division comes in. They're not able to separate them because our society thinks there's only two things. You either like or you dislike. And if you like, it's got to be sexual. But they don't realize you can have a brotherly, sisterly, motherly, fatherly, and they don't have to be sexual. I tell you what does disturb me, though, when family members kiss each other on the lips, because it's not, to me, a lip kissing is more sexual expression than cheek kissing or, you know, hugging and all that.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think sometimes we kind of get it all mixed up. And I think this is what's causing confusion on setting some sort of foundation of what is acceptable and what isn't. And that's until we get to a better understanding of where we came from and why we're doing it, to stop a lot of the negatives and bring in more positives and things. Did that answer your question?
It really did, and I appreciate hearing from you, Miss Rose. We'll talk to you very soon.
Okay, have a blessed one, Dave.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Need y'all to tell me what cheating is. What do you guys define as cheating? Miss Rose had five definitions for cheating, and she said she did all of them. psychological, emotional, obviously physical cheating as well. But she even said looking at somebody else is cheating. I don't think so. We're all looking at attractive people. We are. It's not even always sexual. It's just something about the aura of someone who is deemed attractive by what our Western standards of beauty are that just causes people to look. I know women that look at other attractive women. Fellas, that does not mean that your woman is desiring another woman. She might just be admiring her beauty. And I actually can appreciate that about women, because that means that she is so secure in her own beauty that she can say another woman is beautiful. Men, it's really interesting with us. If a man is truly comfortable in who he is, how he looks, and his sexuality, he would have zero problem saying that another man is handsome. He should have no problem saying that. Also, men who are sexually secure, heterosexual, cisgender men who are sexually secure, do not have a problem with gay men. They can even get hit on by a gay man and they won't ring all the alarm bells, because some men turn violent. Heterosexual, cisgender men turn violent when they get approached or hit on by a gay man. I think that is a sign that that man lacks some security in his own sexuality. But I need a definition from you. How do you define cheating? 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. And have you ever cheated before? Have you ever been cheated on? Let's talk about it. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on the new 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
So the question of the day, or at least of the moment, is how do you define cheating? What is it? And I received a response. Actually, we've got several of them. This one says, cheating is either physical or emotional. Emotional is worse to me. Having a connection with someone else that has an intimate component. And then they go on and say other things. Yeah, emotional cheating. Yeah, I agree. But here's how I define that. And I might be outdated in my thinking. So we live in a world where men and women can have platonic relationships, even though I do not believe that. I do not believe that every relationship between a heterosexual cisgender man and heterosexual cisgender woman are strictly platonic. Somebody liked somebody and the other didn't reciprocate. They probably dated and it didn't work out because they figured they would be better off as friends. And they can be very good friends, but it started off as something else. And maybe the romantic and or the sexual component didn't work out and they resigned to be friends. Friends is a consolation prize. But I have a problem with women that I am involved with, women that I really, really care about, having male friends. Let me tell you why. It's cheating to me. And women are going to disagree. But I think why women want and need platonic male friends is different, because he still can protect. He still can provide. He still can give her a sense of safety and security. He can compliment her and give her the necessary attention that we know women thrive off of. I think women thrive off of attention like men thrive off of success and money. Women need it. To a woman, attention is like currency. That is why if you ignore a woman, it really begins to eat her up. And if she has this male friend that can provide all of those things, especially if she's single, in some cases, she might be getting all of her emotional fulfillment from her male friend. Now, sexual is a little bit different. But I think that a female friend or a girlfriend of mine that has a male friend, that's a problem. Because ultimately, when she and I disagree, and that's going to happen in any relationship, she's going to tell him. And he can use that to his advantage. I've always had a problem with that. There should be a level of respect, because I'm going to be honest with y'all. If I had, and I've got a ton of female friends, but my female friends, they know me. Like, they know that when I'm involved with a woman, I will reduce my communication with them as not to give off any appearance of conflict of interest. I don't need to be kicking it with my female friends if I got a girlfriend. my time that I have to give to another human being is extremely limited. And if I'm with somebody or I'm dating somebody or if I'm exploring the possibilities with a woman, my female friends cannot occupy any more of my time because that is shortchanging the person who I have romantic interest in. And I also would completely understand if the woman who is the object of my affection, and hopefully I'm the object of hers too, she should get upset if I'm spending time with my female friends. She should. Women can also reserve the right to sleep with their male friends whenever they want. And ladies, sometimes y'all play dumb with this. Like, oh, my male friend, he would never sleep with me. He doesn't like me like that. Yes, he does. He is penis behind a glass case that you can break in case of an emergency. Most of the time, he's just waiting for you to be vulnerable. Maybe you dated another guy and your male friends don't like when you date other guys, maybe because they're secretly in love with you. Or they just want to have sex with you. And so when he breaks your heart, the guy you're dating, your male friend, of course, never liked him. Ladies, have you ever had a situation where you're dating a guy or you're married to a man and then your husband or the man you're dating becomes best friends with your male friend? Never. It never happens. Like they might be cordial because they both respect you, your boyfriend, your husband, and your male friend. They'll get along for the sake of you, but they'll never become best friends. No way. It's the most unusual thing for two men to have in common, and that is a woman. It causes all sorts of problems. But along the line of emotional cheating, I think that a woman who is in a committed relationship that still hangs out with and confides in her male friend is a problem. And it gets even more difficult when she's known her male friend for like 20 years. Because in that event, if she's known her male friend for like decades, oh my God, they've slept together. Of course they have. And she may continue to sleep with him because he doesn't add a number of an additional number to the total of men that she slept with. Women, I know that trick you play. If you sleep with a man at any point in your life, you can sleep with him again and again and again forever, and it kind of doesn't count. Only new penis counts. Old penis doesn't count. Old penis keeps your body count at the exact same number. But if you bring in a new one, oh, I'm about to get it right now, ain't I, Carrie? Here we go with this. All right. Miss Shaq, you're on the new 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you, Sharon?
I'm good. Miss Shaq, are you a cheater? Do you cheat?
No.
You've never cheated
before?
No,
you'd be amazed.
Ah, that's what I thought.
Well, when the marriage was crumbling, yeah. But see, that's because the marriage should never have taken place. See, we learn through our trials and errors. That's why it's no such thing as a mistake or a failure or, you know, because everything creates us and evolves us and molds us to be the great person we choose to be every day. But so, I love your...
Hang on a second, Ms. Shaq. I'm caught up on something. So did your husband, ex-husband, know that the relationship was irreconcilable before you cheated? Or in your mind, was it irreconcilable and then you went with another man?
Oh, he knew it was irreconcilable before he even married me because, you know, of the decision that he and his mom made to marry me to save him child support, okay?
Oh.
So let's keep it real. So that right there is set up for failure. So when you do that and then you continue to live as if you're single, you know already that you're setting your woman up for failure. So that's my story, but I've evolved and I'm the winner in this case because, you know, you don't do God's people wrong. That's how it goes, right? But no, I'm not a cheater, but I'm an open person and I know that we are not perfect people. And when we come together for an arrangement, then we should also be open and realistic. And I know that I don't condemn my ex for nothing, because like I said, we evolve and become the best person we choose to be every day. But at the same time, if I'm involved with you, I'm going to let you know, yeah, I have a friend here and there, and no, I'm not a cheater, but I'm just as open about your friends as you are, and hopefully receptive about my friends.
Are you okay with a man you're involved in with, rather, romantically, having a close female friend that's attractive?
Sure.
She's a knockout.
Yeah.
She's real pretty, Ms. Shaq.
Yeah. Okay. But see, it's not about the external. It's about the internal. It's about the level of maturity and intellect. Do you have is this friend, a like-minded friend? Does she have the same goals and values you have? Then I'm going to respect that. Is she receptive of me? I'm going to respect that. Wow, that's great.
What if she gets jealous of you? Now, this is your love interest. This is your boyfriend. This is your man. He's got this very close female friend. But if she is jealous of you or doesn't treat you with respect, go ahead.
If she's jealous of me, or I call this at ease for me, and that may be because she's concerned about you because of her love and protection for you and this other person coming into your life. So I have to be understanding and receptive of that. And we as adults can talk about that and get to the bottom of it and have peace.
Makes sense to me. It seems to be easier said than done, though. My problem is I tend to take the advice.
It depends on the level of maturity.
Yeah, but everybody is immature. I tend to listen to my female friends because they know women like intuitively. Women know each other very, very well. And there are some things that men, we're just not like biologically equipped to pick up on certain things that women do. But my female friends will tell me, Sherwin, let me tell you about this gal you messing with. She ain't no good. You need to take my word for it. I have broken up with women on the advice of my female friends. And these are female friends that did not have an agenda with me. Some female friends don't want you to have a girlfriend because they're going to lose hanging out with you or because they're in love with you. No, these are genuine friends like, yo, Sherwin, this girl ain't no good.
And that's on your part, Sherwin, to know your friend, to know their weaknesses and their strengths, and then how to manage that accordingly.
Do you think that men and women can be strictly platonic friends? Like, do you have male friends that you've never slept with?
Exactly.
Do you?
Because I grew up with 10 godbrothers.
So you do have male friends that you've never been intimate with?
Exactly. Okay. And it's possible.
I don't think I don't believe
you. I can admire you. I can love you.
I don't believe you.
It's true.
Okay. Now your brothers
and to rise above. We have to rise above this low level vibing, Sharon. We can have that level of coexistence without taking it to a sexual level.
Huh? I know we can, but do we? Human beings can do any damn thing.
Well, yes, there are people that do that. Yes, it is.
But you're not one of them.
And I agree with you. A man should know another man. And a woman should know another woman. But see, that goes back to our original ancestors. You know, I'm learning so much about our original ancestors and how I see a lot of the things we do still, you know, show itself. It's so amazing. And one day we have to talk in depth about that. It's so amazing.
Thank you, Ms. Sack. Have a good day. And
you have
weekend.
A great weekend.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm scared to hang out with Ms. Shaq. She will undress me with her eyes. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on the new 101.7 The Truth. 833-212-1017. Got a bunch of text messages. I'm going to read those next. What is your definition of cheating? And have you ever been unfaithful? Maybe I'll share a story on the other side. Keep it locked. I'll be right back.
You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
How do you define cheating or being unfaithful? Have you ever been unfaithful before? Do you feel guilty? Do you regret it? Or were you just living your best life? And if somebody else didn't like it, it was clearly just their problem. 262-214 says, man, they said a lot. All right, here we go. They say cheating can be emotional or sexual. There are women and men who are intimately involved with someone else, and they share a deep connection they don't share with their partner. Part of the reason women get jealous of men's relationships with other men, even though no sex is involved. That is fascinating. People cheat in their minds, which means they are disconnected from the relationship. They cheat with porn, hanging out with friends, and doing everything but you. Sexual cheating is obvious and not the worst, really. For the most part, people can have sex with anyone. When the intimacy is sought outside of the relationship, that is real cheating. But this is where the internet may be a real serious problem, because you can have deep, long, meaningful conversations in inboxes and on Messenger and never even have met the human being. They can live in another city, another state, and another country, and I would consider that cheating. But I would be less threatened as a man if my woman is talking to a man who lives in, I don't know, Scotland. I mean, yeah, she can be talking to the dude and maybe taking time away from me to chat with him, but I am more infuriated by the physical act of cheating. I don't know what it is. Men, back me up on this. Imagining your woman being penetrated by another man and enjoying it is the stuff of nightmares. That's why men freak out when we find out a woman has been unfaithful. First of all, in those moments in which we find out, the world literally ends. The walls close in on us. Everything gets dark. It's just, it is an absolute disaster, because it is a rejection of everything that we thought we were, not just to her, but to ourselves. And we just question all that I am as a man, all that I've done, all that I've provided, all of the complaints that I didn't make about being strong and doing what I was supposed to do. And this is what she does. It is a nightmare scenario. But I have heard from women my entire life that emotional cheating is worse than physical cheating. If I had to choose the two, because I think I'm used to women having a plethora of emotional attachments and relationships to everybody. So I can't all of a sudden be upset about this emotional attachment she has to this other guy, because she has emotional attachments to a different kind of extent, to her brother, to her father, to her female friends, to strangers on the internet. It seems that women are bound by all of their different emotional attachments and kind of defined by them. That's what makes some women who they are, all of the people that they have in their close and intimate circle. With men, I think it's a little bit different. But I do appreciate the text message 262-214, because I've always been perplexed, especially as a black man, why women get so incredibly upset when we choose to spend time with our boys. As black men, we have to. It doesn't have to be every day. And as we get older and more responsible, we certainly spend less time with our friends. But that just means the times in which we do hang out with our friends are way more important, because nobody understands what black men go through. I know people try. I know you want to empathize, but you can't. Only we know what this is like. Only us. Our mothers try to understand. Our black sisters and female cousins and female friends, our black wives try to understand. But they can't, because if they did, they would know why we need to spend time with our dudes. There's a way in which we as black men can support and rebuild each other. And it's not even like it's emotional coddling, just kicking it, hanging out, talking mess, ribbing each other, talking about life, talking about money, just whatever. Like, that is so incredibly important to us, because we as black men, we have trusted circles of black men. That's where we're safe. Collectively, we are a pack of lions that cannot be penetrated by anything from the outside world. And every now and again, we need that to rebuild. We need to, like, reconnect our masculine energy together, because I got, you know, one of my best friends, he's, you know, his father passed away, and his father was a real big influence in his life. And it's his mother, his sister, his wife, and his two daughters. Like, that is what his life is. His entire life is just women and feminine energy. And every now and again, this brother has to get away because he literally goes crazy because none of them can understand him. But he is literally required to understand all of them. And now, like, his girls are of age where they're all menstruating at the same time. And I feel terrible for him. But then when he wants to go and kick it with his guys, with us, oh my God, he has to be ready for a fight when he gets home because they're all going to be angry. It is horrible. If there is any place in which I believe men are misunderstood the most, it's when black men. I don't know what white guys do. I don't know. They go play ping pong. I don't know what white guys. They go get a beer at the local tavern. I don't know what they do. But black men have got to have an amount of time that we spend together. And you know what's crazy about our community and the homophobia that we have? First thing a black woman will say, and this can be a black woman who's got tons of gay friends and respects the gays. But if her man wants to spend time with his boys, first thing she calls him is gay. And it is ubiquitous in our community. Now, maybe with younger generations of African Americans, that trope is used less. But a black woman in her 40s or 50s cannot understand. I had an argument with somebody on Facebook. And this woman's like, well, if he want to spend time with his friends instead of hanging out with me and having sex with me. I was like, sweetheart, you are completely missing the point. There are things and fulfillment he can get from his friends that you simply cannot provide. And y'all need to understand something. You shouldn't want a man that wants to be all up under you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because that's codependency and that's dangerous, too. You should want your man to go somewhere else and rebuild himself so he can be better for you and for home. Why would you want somebody? Are people that insecure to where if your man goes out and just has a good time with his friends, you can't live with that? Because that's problematic. Or at least it would be for me, because I don't compromise on that. Now, I may not hang out with my friends on the daily, but when me and the fellas get together, and I'm going to tell my woman, hey, look here now, don't make no plans for next Thursday. You know, me and the fellas, we going to kick it. And she's got to be okay with that. Because if she wanted to do the same thing with her female friends, as a man, I know I can't tell her not to go out with her girls. In fact, she can take a whole trip with her girls. She can go to Vegas with her girls. She can leave the country with her girls. And we know what some of these women do when they go on vacation. They become a whole different human being. Let a man say he's going with a couple of his boys for a few days to the Dominican Republic. His woman would leave him. If we took an out-of-town trip, just the boys, some wives are going to be okay because they're going to cheat while he's gone. Some women, but you can't go. When you go, I'm not going to be here. The double standard that exists for out of town trips is just, it's totally unfair. And you all know exactly what I'm talking about. Girls trips, not including the movie, are an accepted part of culture in America. Girls need to get together, go on a cruise, go on the islands, go do whatever. But if men do it, Carrie, I really got to hear from you in the next segment on this because I know you got strong opinions on this. All right, Carrie, I know you're going to take a girl's trip, but if your man want to take a boy's trip, you better let him go. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back for hour 3.